May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Tonight, Christmas Eve, 1968, astronaut Bill Anders pointed his camera out of the Apollo 8 space module, where they were orbiting the moon, the first people for the first time orbiting the moon, and took a photograph of the Earth as it rose off of the moon's horizon. The photograph is called Earthrise. It became quite famous. People saw it. It was a difficult year that year, 1968. There was a lot of conflict. The Vietnam War was picking up, and there was conflict at home over that war. The Civil Rights Movement was in full swing. There was conflict over that. The women's movement was asking questions about women's roles in society. There was conflict over that. Honestly, every time you turned around, it seemed like somebody was getting shot. Robert Kennedy was shot in June of 1968. Dr. Martin Luther King was shot in April of 1968. Uncertain, scary, conflicting times. Does it remind you of any other times that you have been through? People even disagreed about music. Not only did they say, I like my music and I don't like your music, not only did they say, my music is better than music as a piece of music, they would say things like, my music is morally superior to your music. God likes my music better than your music. The other side would say, no, your music is passé and doesn't matter anymore, and my music is relevant and it makes me move. So my music is better indeed. My music is morally superior to your music. Even fought over music. I wonder what would have happened if they had listened to the music of the angels. I wonder what would happen if we listened to the music of Mary. Mary sang a song when she was pregnant with Jesus. We always think of Mary as being meek and mild. Sometimes she was, I'm sure, but not that day. She sang this song. Oh boy, she was really on a roll that day. She said, the Lord has scattered the proud in the imaginations, the delusions, the lies that they tell themselves in their hearts. I am superior. I am better than everyone else. A lie and a delusion, but the Lord is bigger. God has cast the mighty from their thrones and lifted up the lowly, filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. God has acted in remembrance of his mercy, his mercy. His mercy. Boy, could we ever remember mercy. Singing. Now, Bill Anders took this photograph of the earth in this time, in this conflict. And people saw this photograph of the earth hanging like a Christmas ornament in the blackness of space, like a swirly blue marble in the infinite void. And they stepped back and they said, oh, we are small. We are tiny here in the infinitude of space. They called it Earthrise, this photograph. And then later on, NASA sent instructions to the Voyager spacecraft out on the edge of the solar system and instructed it to take a picture of Earth from way out there. And it came back, and guess how big we were there? We were a microscopic little blue smudge is what we were there in the infinite, vast expanse of space. And people stepped back again and said, oh, we are so small. So how is it that a God who made 100 billion galaxies with 100 billion solar systems in each of them, whose arms stretch beyond the boundaries of the solar system 28 billion light years wide at the very least. How is it that such a huge, giant God should come such a tiny little speck of dust to us who don't get along very well, who don't get along very well either? How is it that God would do that? And yes, that is exactly what God does. God doesn't even come to the most important person in the world, right? Emperor Augustus sends out his decrees from his marble halls in Rome, and the whole world does whatever he says. Yes, they do. But does God come to Emperor Augustus? No, God does not. God comes to Mary and Joseph, who have to run back and forth across the countryside at Emperor Augustus's whims, and who are trying their very best to give their child the most that they can, the very best that they can, and they would like to get that nice crib they saw in the baby store with the wood finish and the extra safety features and all they can manage for their son, their little baby, is a feed trough and maybe an armful of hay for a pillow. That's how God comes into the world, through the nobodies. That's how God comes to you and me, in the places where we feel like we are nobody. Mary and Joseph have to run away from King Herod, another important person, King Herod the Great, who built the temple, King Herod the Great, who built all these great palaces. King Herod the Great sends his henchmen to kill the baby Jesus. And Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus have to flee. They run away. They're refugees. They don't know where their next meal is coming from. They don't know where they are going to sleep. They are refugees from their own homeland, from violence in their own lands. Who will give them a space? Who will give them sanctuary? Strange story. Guess who gives them sanctuary? Egypt. Egypt gives them sanctuary. Now, if you've been studying your Bible, you will know that Egypt is kind of a bad guy in the Old Testament, because Egypt holds the people of Israel in bondage for centuries. And yet now Egypt is brought to bring the people of Israel's king into safety. Isn't that strange? No matter what horrible things we have done, and no matter what people we have enslaved, we are able to be redeemed. And God can make us into agents of the light. This is the way God is. The announcement of Jesus' birth comes to shepherds, not to the great publicists and writers of the day. Virgil, who wrote this great epic of the founding of Rome, and it was read and copied and recopied for over 2,000 years. Not to Ovid, who wrote down the myths and stories of Rome into poetic form. It was a great piece of literature. No, to shepherds who don't even know how to read, much less write. And the angel says to the shepherds, "Unto you is born. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." Tiny, tiny people on a tiny speck of dust. We who are helpless in the face of so much, helpless in the face of death. Unto you is born a Savior. And then there is with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. That word host in Greek, the word in Greek is stratios. It's the same root as the word strategy. The word in Greek for the word host here is an army. An angel army appears next to the angel. Now, if I had an angel army at my disposal and I was a shepherd, a nobody, in a country that was occupied by Emperor Augustus, I might have a couple of uses for that angel army. I might want to send them to Rome and knock the whole place flat. I might want to at least send them out against the Romans in my country and drive the Romans away so I can have my country back because they've been occupied for 100 years. This is what I would want with my angel army. Is that what the angel army does? No. What does the angel army do? The angel army sings. They sing. Is this not the most preposterous thing you've ever heard in your life? God comes to this tiny speck of dust hanging in the void. God comes to a contentious and violent people. God sings an angel of armies and an army of angels, and they sing. Is this not most preposterous? And yet, is it possible that when we sing, when we sang tonight, "Oh, come all ye faithful," that the agents of hell and the powers of the demonic shook? Is it possible that when we make our lives into a song, not just with our voices and with music, powerful and holy though it is, yes it is, but with our lives, when we use our attitudes with which we engage one another in our families and with our friends, when we use our power to speak and to vote as citizens in this country, when we use our finances the way we spend and save and give and share our money, when we use our bodies in healthy ways, when we do things that glorify God, when we sing with our lives, "Gloria," does it make a difference? Does it make a difference what we do? Does God hear us out there on the edge of the universe when we sing a lullaby? "Silent night." Oh, yes. It matters what we do. The good you do in this world gives birth to the Christ child again. The integrity with which you live, and the honor with which you treat one another, and the compassion with which you work in the world, it matters. Here's my point. Christmas is not a nice bubble that we blow to live in for a while in the middle of winter, some warm, fuzzy feelings. Christmas is real, and it's a window on the depth of God's being. This is the way the world works. This is the way God is. God comes to us, tiny little contentious, difficult people, and God loves you. God loves you. You know what Bill Anders said when he was about to take that photograph of the earth hanging in space just above the horizon of the moon? He said, "Oh my God, look at that picture over there. There's the earth coming up. Wow, that's pretty."